This podcast is part of the Michigan Sports and Entertainment Podcast Network. Go to michigansportsandentertainment.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome back to another edition of Pistons Thoughts. I am your host, Jordan Letterman, with our partner, Chris McClellan. What's up, Chris?
What's up?
We're back, and this time, the Pistons are killing it.
And the Pistons are back, apparently.
I guess, man. First of all, they have won 12 of the last 15 games, and this seems like a sustainable way of playing basketball. We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
Another first of all, Dre just named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week.
Hey!
Now, he has had a phenomenal last 2 months, mm-hmm. and this last week, he's finally recognized for it. Pistons went 3-0 during this stretch. Dre averaged 22.3 points per game, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.3 steals, and 1.3 blocks per game.
Damn, let's fucking go.
67% from the field shooting during this stretch. And for the season, Dre's averaging 17.5 points a game and 15 boards.
Fuck.
I don't think this is a fluke. Now, real quick, let me just take a jab at 97.1 The Ticket, Detroit sports radio station.
Uh-oh. They're going to tweet back.
I hope they do, man. I just... There's something I feel like I got to get out there. You know, Greg Kelster had a great monologue about this at the end of a game this week.
Okay.
It's just, you don't have to buy into this team. You don't have to outwardly be a fan or going crazy about it. But as the Detroit sports radio station, you can't be spreading negativity about the best team in your city right now.
Bro, you gotta rep that shit. And if that's your home team, you got to be like, through thick and thin, man, we lose, man.
Right? And you can criticize. Know what I mean? You know, we criticize when they're playing like shit.
Oh, we criticize hard.
But it's never fuck this team. They're a fluke.
We still had hope, man.
Right.
We still
the
had
whole
hope.
Time, you know, maybe there were a few months of cloudiness where we're like, this could be tough to get out of.
That's why I
right?
suck. It's going to suck.
But at the same time, the moment they show any sign of anything, we're not like, oh, this is a fluke, or, oh, like, yeah, they can't sustain this shit at all. Like, they should tank. And we talked about this last episode about about tanking versus the playoffs. And in some situations, tanking can work. Short-term tanking can work. But to give up on a season of Blake Griffin's prime, the best year of his life, Dwayne Casey's first year here, I just think it is absurd to have even thought that. And lucky for me and you, Chris, they didn't. The Pistons were like, fuck you guys saying we're about to tank.
Except for Jordan and Chris. They're cool.
Right, right. We're like, fuck everybody but Jordan and Chris. Pistons thoughts, you guys are hype as hell. But the Pistons, as an organization, and the players and coaches and everyone who's making it happen right now, they said, fuck that. We are making the playoffs, and that's exactly what they're on their way to doing.
I mean, what, we're in the sixth seed? We're doing a pretty damn good job at it.
12 of the last 15 games have been wins. I think 12 of the last 16 since I tweeted that coach needs to do more pick and roll with Reggie and Blake and Reggie and Dre. I'm not saying that I'm taking credit for that, but I should be given some financial compensation
for the way they've been playing
since my tweet. You know, I think the game after that we got
blew
out by the Bucks.
Dude, that tweet's copyrighted. As soon as you put that shit on your post, man.
Oh, for sure.
Copyrighted,
yeah,
bro.
I mean, anyone could find that forever because I've never deleted a tweet in my life. But the Pistons right now have a huge game tonight against the Nets, who we are a half game above the sixth seed for. If we lose tonight, we slide back to 7, but we're only a half game out. Mm-hmm. We win tonight, we take a 1.5 game lead into the 6th seed. The Nets are entering a very tough stretch in their schedule to close out the year. Last 18, 19 games.
Damn.
Pistons have it a little easier. I mean, the Pistons have some tough games coming up.
Right.
They'll be at Golden State on the 24th, and I'll be there at the game.
Okay.
Hype as hell.
Okay.
Repping my new Detroit Pistons hockey jersey that I got on Amazon.
That's
so Amazon should pay me for that plug. but Pistons over. I mean, here's the thing. If you look back to a month ago.
Uh-huh.
Pistons were a couple games out of the 8th spot.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at that and said, we're only whatever we were, a game and a half, maybe 2 or 3.
Yeah, it was something really.
And
yeah.
you look at our schedule going forward, and it's come to fruition, but it was looking pretty favorable for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I get people saying, like, oh, they've had an easy schedule. Of course they're 12 and 3 in their last 15. But okay, but every team.
But knowing where we came from, dude, like, we would have fucking lost, like, still.
Right, that's true, too. Like, but every team, every great team, the Bucks, who are 50 and 17.
That's fucking
You're telling
crazy.
Me that they haven't played the same amount of bad teams that we will have played at the end of the year? Every team plays the same amount of bad teams every year. Granted, Western Conference teams get it a little rougher because it's a tougher conference in general. But for the most part, in general, every team plays a large amount of bad teams throughout the year. You know, half your games throughout the season are probably games you should win if you're just going based off of record and, you know, the teams you're playing.
Right.
So I think to call that a fluke, I think it's bullshit. And I understand you might not want to go 100% all in on this team after this hot stretch playing some bad teams.
Right.
But every team has this stretch, and the good and great teams take advantage of these stretches. It's like, it almost feels like people would rather be like, oh, we lost these games, so now I can say for sure that we're not good. But if we win them, they're like, I can't say for sure that we're good because we're playing bad teams. It's like
damned
no
if you
winning.
Do, damned if you don't. Exactly. You know what I mean? And I would say like a fluke would be like, okay, we won like three straight in a row. After 12, you're kind of like, all right, this is something else. This is just some magic
15,
that's happening between the, like, teammates.
And it's been
shit.
A huge turnaround. I mean, the Pistons, Duncan Smith tweeted this, after over the last 19 games, the Pistons lead the league in offensive rating. 19 games is about a quarter of the season. I think that's a pretty darn good sample size.
You can't beat that. You can't beat the facts, dude. Like, that should tell you that's not a fluke. You know?
Consistency over 19 games, that's a big stretch. And I know the Pistons had a big dip for 2 months in December and January.
Mm-hmm.
But you look back at that, why did that happen? Injuries. Ish Smith and Reggie Jackson, point guard, arguably the most important position in the league.
Yeah.
Granted, the Pistons got away with using Blake as a point forward and running everything through him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that he kept us afloat through those 2 months is crazy.
It's like, thank you, Blake. Honestly. We always should have a Blake day. Like,
yeah, true.
Just paying homage to him, you know, for keeping us there.
Exactly,
doesn't
man.
Get enough
he
credit.
Kept it in striking distance, and then Ish is back, Reggie's finally healthy, and this team is ready to take off. I mean, I think he's
got some
been
new
able,
additions to the team,
right.
You know, like Thon and just killing
and Wayne
out there.
Even, his first couple games were awful. But, I mean, but the thing is, and I've said this since he got here, I know that his first few games were pretty tough, but he's been in the league a long time. Every team and every player respects him as a shooter, so it doesn't matter how crappy he's shooting it, they still need to give him the attention.
Yeah.
And he's been better lately, so that makes it even
it's
better.
It's an adjustment period, you know? Anytime you go to a new team or any new system, you're going to have to, like, figure it out first. You
and
know what I mean?
He wasn't really playing in Miami. I don't think he played a game or maybe one or two since, like, Christmas before he got here.
So he has something to prove.
And he's, you know, he's got to get back in game shape. I mean, I know that he was in game shape, but there's nothing like, as they all say, I can't speak for that because I've never done it, but there's nothing like simulating real NBA game reps. I'll know one day. But I think he's just getting better and better. And he's a smart player, and he was always going to be fine here. But I mean, so the Pistons had a terrible 2 month stretch. Now they're killing it. And there are so many factors. And this is why I think it's sustainable. Because it's not Blake playing out of his mind. Matter of fact, his numbers have dipped because he hasn't had to do much. He's sat like 4 fourth quarters throughout this stretch.
Oh, good.
Right? He's been able to chill. And, you know, he's looked a step slower since All-Star break. But I think, you know, he's been sitting fourth quarters. Maybe he'll get a day off by the end of the season if we clinch a good spot later in the year.
Yeah.
But it's not that Blake's playing out of his mind. It's not that Andre is playing out of his mind.
It's not the fucking
this
team
is Dre.
Works.
Like, Dre is putting up these numbers, and these are numbers that, give or take, minus a couple points maybe, he can put these up any night.
Yeah.
It's not like this is a fluke that Dre is playing this way. He's been this way pretty much since his second year in the NBA. I think he averaged like 13 and 13. And he's slowly getting better. He's made such better decisions. He's not forcing dumb shots. He's passing out of the post, out of the roll. He's playing great, right? You throw that mixed with Reggie, who's healthy and playing like a genius savant basketball player. He's made great decisions too. He's shooting the lights out. That combination, now we actually have a three-headed monster.
We have a good team.
That we thought we might get going into the year, completely didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then Reggie got healthy.
But that's okay. Some good things take time.
Exactly.
That's the thing. Some good things take time.
And, you know, we all gave Casey his fair share of blame early in the year, as he deserved it, in my opinion. I think his rotations were pretty terrible, and, you know, the offense wasn't great. But at the same time, I mean, there wasn't much you could do with a one-legged Reggie and no Ish.
And
other than not play Jose, I would have preferred he didn't play Jose either way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you gotta give him a fair share of the credit here. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job making adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he stays so even tempered through everything. The only time you really see him get heated is at the refs on behalf of his players.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he'll chew out his guys sometimes. I mean, the Bulls game at halftime the other day, apparently he chewed them out pretty bad because terrible first half.
Good.
They came out and responded.
Yeah, we need that.
Exactly. Like,
need that kick in the ass.
His attitude, for sure. But his attitude and his message, at least what he's saying publicly, and it doesn't strike me like he'd say something different private. He's been saying, we're building winning habits. We got to play with the right disposition.
Good.
We got to do the right things, and the wins are going to come. Like, we're establishing this culture and this way of playing the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's preached that since day one, and it's finally coming to fruition. I mean, it's easy for everybody to go crazy after 40 games and be like, oh, shit, like, this isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
You got it, like, 40 games, half a season for a completely new coaching staff, completely new offense. Like, it takes time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You can't expect miracles right away. Like, even just, even just this short amount of time is incredible. I'm like, oh, shit. We were just like, even last season, we were just like, below 10th seed or some shit, 9th seed.
Yeah. We were like in the race, but like,
we weren't making
enough.
It.
Yeah.
Just that turnaround, just even in that short amount of time. We're 6th seed now. Like, that's fucking incredible. I'm like, and we're like on track to even probably do more. And I love that shit. And
right?
I'm like, dude, it took what, 6 months to like kind of get to that stage?
It took a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm cool with it because, again, good things happen in like good time. Like,
especially when you rush it like that. You need to build a house. You need the foundation.
You need some good foundation.
Right?
You can't
Otherwise,
put that
shit
on quicksand,
crumble.
Bro.
And that's why, exactly, yeah. Quicksand will kill you. And, you know,
quickly, man.
Even though I wanted it, the Mike Conley trade could have been quicksand.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Instant gratification. Would it be? Well, I don't know. We'll see. One day we'll figure it out. But Reggie's been phenomenal. Mike Conley, by the way, was the Western Conference Player of the Week.
Oh,
so I was like, oh, what could have been? But I have no complaints about how Reggie has played and how the Pistons have played. I wanted it at the time. I was wrong, at least where we stand right now.
Right.
And I'm cool with that. But also, looking at the playoff picture, I mean, even months ago when we weren't in the playoffs, and I was saying, go for the fucking playoffs, everyone's like, why? So we can get swept by the Bucks? And I was like, no! We're not going to be the 8th seed. If we make the playoffs, we're 6 or 7, or if Boston or Indiana slide somehow, I don't know, we're 6 games back of the 5 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not going to happen at this point. But we were never fighting for the 8th spot.
Mm-mm.
Never. No part of anyone in that locker room, anyone in the organization, had any idea that they were fighting for the 8th spot. Because they weren't. Because you looked at the schedules ahead. And you say, if you're going to make this playoffs, you caught fire. And you played well. And you bumped up to the 6th, 7th spot.
Right.
Now, we could talk a little bit about matchups, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be the 6th or 7th seed. I'm pretty confident we're going to be 6.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the Nets have a tough schedule, and the Pistons are playing great, and I think it's sustainable because, again, everyone's doing something. Everyone's contributing. Actually,
right.
Let's get to that.
Okay, let's go.
So, as I mentioned, Dre, killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie, killing it. Luke Kennard, absolutely killing
it. Yeah.
Last podcast, we were screaming at him to just keep shooting. And he kept shooting.
And he heard that shit. Somehow, someway, he heard that shit.
Dude, this is
shout out to you, Luke Kennard.
Luke and the entire Pistons organization listens to our podcast and listens to
us. Oh, easily. Do they take notes?
I mean, that's amazing. But Luke has been playing phenomenal, and this is the type of player that we all envisioned when we got over that we didn't draft Donovan Mitchell. We were all like, okay, hold on. We're like, hold on a second. Like, Luke is a phenomenal shooter, as mm-hmm. we all know. And we're starting to see he's a very good playmaker. And when he yeah. shoots with confidence, he's a great fucking shooter in the NBA. I mean, he's been playing great.
Yeah.
You got Langston Galloway, who currently over a 3 or 4 game stretch, I think 3, has hit 12 straight threes.
Mm.
Hasn't missed one in a few games. And I'm a huge critic of Langston. You know, I love, like, as a person, he seems like an incredible dude. Hard worker. Kicks game off the charts. Right. LG kicks all day.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. Hook yeah. me up with some free shit.
Hey.
But I've always said he's for the most part been pretty inconsistent a lot of his career. You know, I always say that 1 out of every 10 games he catches fire. But when he catches fire, he's hot.
Right.
He's been playing this way over the last 10 games for the most part. He has been an absolute flamethrower, and I'm so happy for him that he's gaining some consistency.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for us that he is, because he's been a huge help. I mean, dude, this is going great.
It's just this whole fucking energy is different, and that's great. Like, beforehand, it was like a negative, cancerous energy. Now it's
right.
this positive, oh my gosh, let's play for each other versus ourselves.
Yeah.
And let's keep pushing. Like, this is now, I think what it is it's fun for them now.
Yeah,
and they're like, dude, we're in the playoffs now. Like, yeah. but like, let's even do more. Let's just try to keep pushing. Right. Like, have fun with it. You know, I think that's what that is. And like, yeah, you're right. You could tell. Like, watching any game, you look at the bench, they're all laughing, joking, having a good time, like teammates.
And everyone is going wild for every three anybody hits.
Right.
For any time anyone dunks or blocks,
it's hype as fuck.
Right.
You know.
And I think that it's just, it's consistent because everyone's attitude has been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge part of what Casey has done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one panicked when we were 3 games out of the playoffs. No one, when we got into the playoffs, was like, oh, nice. Was like, oh, cool. We're
sick.
We're here with 27 games left in the year. No one was like that. And I think the combination of Blake and Casey's leadership keeps that we need more attitude. This
yeah.
is nothing to celebrate. So that's why, and they keep saying after every game, it's like, yeah, like we're playing great. We're not looking past tomorrow's game.
But we, yeah, exactly.
You know, we got one game at a time
right.
and the wins are going to follow. We're not looking at, you know, how many games out we are. We just are focused right now on this game.
And
when this is over, we're focused on the next game.
Right.
When that's over,
that's how you fuck yourself. If you start trying to go like, oh, we're cool, we're good.
Right.
You know, that's when you start losing. You start
the easy games.
Yeah.
That's when you lose a game or two against the Bulls or the Knicks
right.
or the Suns.
And then that's just the following.
The Suns just beat the Warriors last night, though.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, the Warriors are self-destructing, but
we'll see.
You know.
I mean, it's, with them, it's like, yes, but at the same time, like, come playoffs, you got too many weapons.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting, though.
We'll see.
You know, the last few years, they've come close to losing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see how that goes. But let's look at some possible Pistons matchups. I think
okay.
there are 4 possibilities, which is kind of crazy.
Sure.
That, you know, 19 games is still a lot
mm-hmm.
left in the year. But 4 possibilities is a lot, right?
Yeah.
So the perfect matchup, in my opinion, is if Indiana can somehow get back and hold the 3 spot and
mm-hmm.
we make the 6 spot and we play them first round.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Indiana is still playing great basketball. They're still a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
But in the playoffs, without Oladipo, I think that in the playoffs, a star will take you farther than a team.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds weird coming from a Pistons fan who in 04, obviously, we had the team over the stars. But I think in a playoff series, you know, and it's not like it's just Blake Griffin. I mean, you got Dre who's playing as a beast. And if Reggie keeps this up, knock on my IKEA wooden desk.
Dude, that's not real wood, though.
That's why I announced it. You gotta, if you announce and acknowledge that it's not real wood,
then it'll still
work.
It works.
But if he keeps playing like he's playing, I mean, I like that team against an Oladipo-less Indiana Pacers.
Mm.
And I think that's our best chance to get out of the first round.
Yeah.
Now, then you look at Philly or Boston, who are the more likely 3 seeds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to play Philly.
I really don't. I don't either, dude. They'd murder us.
I mean, look, I think I still, and I've said this from day one, I think any matchup that isn't the Bucks, we win at least 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can push them to 7, right?
Right.
Any team but the Bucks. Bucks, maybe we get 1. I mean, when that comes, if we have to play the Bucks, I'll turn my optimistic switch on. But for now, let's try and avoid them.
Yeah.
But again, we're not going to be the 8 spot. We just got to hope that they keep the 1 spot. Yeah. Right? Just in case we slip to 7, because they're only 2 games up on the Raptors. But I wouldn't be against, I would almost rather play the Raptors than the Sixers. I mean, I'm not taking too much stock into our 2-0 record against them this season, even though I absolutely love beating Raptors in our building when Raptors fans try to come take over. I have a blast fighting with Raptors fans on Twitter because they have nothing to say because they've never won anything. But I just think outside of Kawhi.
That's so funny.
I know. I'm having a blast. But outside of Kawhi, I think the Pistons match up really well against them. Now, obviously, no Stanley anymore, so you don't have a Kawhi stopper.
Mm.
But I think if you can limit everybody around him, which I think the Pistons can, the Pistons have some of the best three-point defense in the league, and that's what would kill us with the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kyle Lowry went off against us in Detroit, but Kawhi wasn't playing. I don't think he's going to do that in the playoffs. He never does. But I think the Pistons can match up relatively well against the Raptors, and I think that's their best chance at an actual upset.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying they're going to beat the Raptors in the playoff series, but I think they could win a couple games, and you get Blake to the playoffs. I keep saying this. You get him to the playoffs, and who knows what happens.
Oh, he'll go off.
I mean, Kawhi could be off. He could be recovering from injury. He's been, you know, taking so many nights off this year.
Right.
You never know what happens. I think with Philly, Embiid has been battling some knee tendonitis, which can definitely fuck you, especially come playoff time, depending on how bad it is. I still don't want to take the risk. I mean, they still have Tobias and Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons, you know, is easier to guard in the playoffs because of his lack of any shooting ability.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to play them. I would rather not. And then you look at Boston, who's another interesting team. The Pistons match up well. Interior on the perimeter, it's tough. We don't have the wings that can really guard the Tatums or the Browns or the Hayward if he's killing it, as he's been playing better recently.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Celtics, sort of like the Raptors, I think there's a good shot at 2 games, maybe 3. And if you get that 3rd win and you push a game 7, who fucking knows? Pistons could catch absolute fire. Celtics could go cold as hell, as they did last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, they could.
You never know. Realistically, the only team that I absolutely at all costs do not want to play is the Bucks.
It's the Bucks.
And the ideal matchup is the Pacers.
Okay.
So that's sort of where I'm at in terms of playoff hopes and pictures. But at the same time, you do your job, you keep that 6th spot, and I like where we're going to be.
Yeah, I think, if anything, it should work out. Hopefully you don't play the Sixers because that would suck.
I mean, Embiid. Well, here's the thing, though. If Drummond, so throughout their careers, Drummond really hasn't performed well against Embiid. You know, Embiid is a certified trash talker.
He's going to come back and like, bitch.
Embiid supposedly lives rent-free in Drummond's head, according to him.
Mm-hmm.
And if Dre, and Dre has been so much better with this lately.
Mm-hmm.
If Dre can keep that shit out and Dre can do what Dre does, I don't think that Embiid is that much better. And I know that might sound like a hot take, but
bro,
I don't think
like,
it is.
Kick him in the knee, man.
Just a little just knee him in the knee.
Get
you know,
that tendonitis
easy.
Fucking
We got Zaza
going.
On the team for a reason. Man. No, I don't want anyone foot. Injuring anyone. But
that won't be fun.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't think like you know Embiid is more offensively skilled, but I don't think that if Dre is playing at his best, Embiid is that much better. I don't think that's a crazy mismatch anymore. Who I'm worried about most is Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy is certified bucket getter.
Right.
And he's clutch as hell. I don't know that he fits with the Sixers team. It's going to be interesting to see if he walks or not. But in the playoffs, I'm worried about Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And Tobias, we'll see. I absolutely love Tobias. But think back to the playoff series against the Cavs they had a couple years ago and he sort of disappeared.
Yeah.
But love Tobias, would be very worried about him too. Let's not play the Sixers.
Yeah.
How
about
it?
Let's just try to avoid it. Yeah, that's just a better solution.
But all in all, the Pistons have been absolutely phenomenal 12 of the last 15 games. And this is starting to look like a very legitimate sleeper.
It's very promising.
I love this.
Very promising.
And again, huge game against the Nets tonight. And then we got the Heat on Wednesday, who are the two teams directly behind us. Big games.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just do it,
let's
man.
Just fucking...
Detroit
like, at this
versus
point,
everybody.
Hey.
Detroit basketball. This is a good year.
This is the golden year.
This is good. I mean, and another thing about making the playoffs as opposed to missing, just to harp on this a little bit more,
yeah,
is, you know, you don't go from 0 to 100 real quick, you know? You don't go from missing out on the playoffs to winning a championship the next year.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little experience. You get in the first round, win a couple games, put up a good fight, maybe upset. Mm-hmm. You never know. Again, you never know what happens in the playoffs. And the Pistons have been building this incredible foundation of solid fundamental basketball, taking good shots, playing good defense, making the right passes. Come playoff time, that could be huge. And the Pistons...
I think it will be.
Depth? I didn't realize... I thought the trading away Reggie B and Stanley was going to totally shit on our depth.
Mm-hmm.
Thon came in. Glenn Robinson III has actually been playing really solid as a stretch four, small ball four lately, mm-hmm. the last few games. Wayne Ellington's been really solid. Bruce Brown continues to play phenomenal defense. He's going to be huge in the playoffs. And... Maybe this is gonna be something.
I'm hyper and shit. I can't. Like,
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We got 19 games to go. We got a little bit to the finish line, but
it's looking
Pistons,
good.
Pistons. I think there's a 96% chance of them making the playoffs at this point.
Oh, easily.
So I'm gonna make a flight back to Michigan, hop into the LCA for a good old playoff
for a good game.
For the first playoff game in LCA history. I gotta be there.
That would be crazy.
It's gonna be hype as hell, man.
It's gonna be crazy.
All right, that's all I got for today. But moral of this story is. Fuck the fluke. This isn't a fluke. And
this is legit, bitch.
This like, is legit. I don't know where the ceiling is right now, but our floor is not lower than where we're at right now. This is where we're at.
Yeah.
This is this team.
Yes.
This is who we thought they were going to be, and they're developing and they're blossoming into this role.
And it could get even better, too.
Exactly, you know what man. I mean? Who knows what happens. But that's all we got for today. We will see you next week because this is a weekly show now.
Hell yeah.
All right, y'all. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, see ya.